Waiting for the best deals? Spring Black Friday savings are here. Shop early access now at Blinds.com and save big on new custom window treatments. At Blinds.com, shopping online for custom window treatments doesn't mean sacrificing on service, selection, or style. As the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, Blinds.com has hundreds of options to fit any decor and budget. Choose from stylish roller or bamboo shades, blackout options, and more. We even have motorized shades for your patio. DIY, or let our experts handle the heavy lifting. Blinds.com has you covered with free virtual consultations. We'll even send a pro to do the measure and install. Try before you buy with free samples delivered to your door. With over 25 million windows covered, every order's backed with Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Spring Black Friday Early Access now for up to 40% off with minimum purchase, plus a free measure. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
I recently found out that you can see a personal dietitian covered by insurance. There's this platform called Nourish that will match you with a dietitian based on whatever your concerns are, whether that's weight loss, eating disorders, autoimmune conditions, or something else. They're actually a network with major insurance providers, so most patients pay $0 out of pocket. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything, to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, PSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Venaria Jr. with Ausperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
At 9:37 a.m., the president put out a statement saying this is a great time to buy, signed a DJT. And at 1:18 p.m. today, he announced a 90-day pause on reciprocal tariffs except for China, and the market went crazy. So, if people listened to him at 9:37 a.m., they made a lot of money today. No doubt about it. They made a lot of money. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here for our fourth and final hour on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT 855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zeoli. I got to get into this whole new book, Uncharted, about Biden's brain being mush. But in case you're just getting out of work and you missed everything that happened today, it's been a crazy day, as you can imagine. We are looking at, hopefully, possibly now, a deal with China. And hopefully China will come to the table now that they won't be out there on their own. And they'll be able to make something work with the United States of America. I mean, that's what we can hope here in all this. We can hope that this, and this is what the Treasury Secretary said earlier today when he made this announcement. And he said that we are putting this 90-day pause on, and Caroline Leavitt came out, the White House press secretary, earlier today, and then the markets just went crazy. So this is what she said, and this is what happened earlier today after the president put out the statement. The statement reading as follows: based on the lack of respect that China has shown to the world markets, I am hereby raising the tariff charge to China by the effective United States of America to 125%. Effective immediately. At some point, hopefully in the near future, China will realize that the days of ripping off the USA and other countries is no longer sustainable or acceptable. Conversely, and based on the fact that more than 75 countries have called representatives of the United States, including the Departments of Commerce, Treasury, and the USTR, to negotiate a solution to the subjects being discussed relative to trade, trade barriers, tariffs, currency manipulation, and non-monetary tariffs, and that these countries have not, at my strong suggestion, retaliated in any way, shape, or form against the United States, I have authorized a 90-day pause and a substantially lowered reciprocal tariff during this period of 10%, also effective immediately. Thank you for your attention to this matter. Caroline Leavitt then shortly afterward came out and said the following.
As you all know, the president just put out a statement announcing an additional tariff on China. The tariff on China will now go up to 125% because China imprudently decided to retaliate against the United States. And as I said at the podium yesterday, when you punch at the United States of America, President Trump is going to punch back harder. In that same vein, we have had more than 75 countries from around the world reach out to President Trump and his team here at the White House to negotiate better trade deals for the American worker. We have been overwhelmed with the amount of requests from countries around the world. I'll let the secretary speak to that. We will continue with the tailor-made negotiations that I spoke about yesterday. In the meantime, there will be a 90-day pause on the reciprocal tariffs as these negotiations are ongoing, and the tariff level will be brought down to a universal 10% tariff. The secretary here has been a huge part of the president's trade team, of course, and will continue to lead these negotiations moving forward to look out for the American worker, which is always President Trump's goal. As you all know, the president just put out a
And then she went on to say that many of you in the media clearly missed the art of the deal and what was happening here. The art of the deal. Look, this is great news. I'm very, very happy about this today. I couldn't be happier about this. And I imagine China's going to come to the table very, very soon. They're out there on their own. They can't be on their own. Their economy is not strong enough to survive on their own. They need to be selling their stuff in the United States of America. So needs to happen. And that is what exactly needs to happen now. China will come to the table. I have no doubt about it. But here is what Caroline Levitt said.
If I could just add to what the secretary said, many of you in the media clearly missed the art of the deal. You clearly failed to see what President Trump is doing here. You tried to say that the rest of the world would be moved closer to China when, in fact, we've seen the opposite effect. The entire world is calling the United States of America, not China, because they need our markets, they need our consumers, and they need this president in the Oval Office to talk to them. And that's exactly why more than 75 countries have called, because the United States of America is the best place in the world to do business. And as the president has shown great courage, as the secretary has said, in choosing to retaliate against China even higher.
Okay, so now we enjoy the largesse of this, and thank God, and this is good. I mean, I'm happy, you're happy, I'm sure everybody's happy today. And if you were one of those people today who bought, then you're having a great day. You're having a wonderful day, and this is what the Treasury Secretary said regarding these 75 countries.
And we saw the successful negotiating strategy that President Trump implemented a week ago today. It has brought more than 75 countries forward to negotiate. It took great courage for him to stay the course until this moment. And what we have ended up with here, as I told everyone a week ago, they are in this very spot. Do not retaliate, and you will be rewarded. So every country in the world who wants to come and negotiate, we are willing to hear you. We're going to go down to a 10% baseline tariff for them, and China will be raised to 125 due to their insistence on escalation.
Okay, so the insistence on escalation. And, you know, Scott Bessent's not calling this a trade war. He says it's not a trade war, but I think it's clear to say it's a trade war. And you know what? China can't be out there on its own. It just can't. It doesn't have the ability to do that. That's the bottom line, period.
As you see it now, this trade war is China versus the rest of the world.
Well, I'm not calling it a trade war, but I'm saying that China has escalated, and President Trump responded very courageously to that.
Well, you can call it a trade war. You don't have to, but excuse me, what is that? Sorry, I had a little cough there. You don't have to call it a trade war, but it's with China now. It's a trade war, and it's okay because this is going to work out. It's all going to work out. Now, I've been telling you for days now, this is going to be fine. Everything's going to be okay. It's going to work out, and this is the right thing to do. This 90-day pause is the right thing to do. We didn't get here overnight. We're not going to get out of this overnight. And the Treasury Secretary also addressed that as well.
We started with a 90-day pause, and we will see if more more countries turn up, well, what will happen? But we have a meeting with Vietnam today, and we have one of the largest trade deficits with them. So I'm hoping it will move in a good direction. I was at the Japanese ambassador's house last night for the Cherry Blossom Festival, which is quite festive. And he and I had a good chat. They are going to send a deal team over. So, you know, we'll see. These are complicated negotiations. These are imbalances that have taken decades to create. But I think having seen the maximum level that Donald Trump is willing to go to, President Trump has created this negotiating leverage.
Okay, so we have the negotiating leverage, and that's what we have, and this is good. And you know, look, there's a lot of Democrats who for years have been saying this regarding China. It's not just Republicans, but Democrats have been saying this too regarding China. And so here we are at this moment in time with a lot of them and for years saying that regarding China. You know, you China can't keep ripping us off, and China cannot keep turning around and doing what they're doing. And that's just the bottom line here. So now hopefully we can have a situation where everything works out to be a very fair situation for everybody. And the result of this is freer, fairer trade. Senator Ted Cruz supporting that, and he said this following.
I actually think the president is exactly right to be standing up and fighting for reciprocity. That is the right principle. I also think it's exactly right that he is focusing on China. Those have been the two things that I've been urging the president. Focus on China, focus on reciprocity.
Focus on China and focus on reciprocity. That's right. And, you know, what do we do with China? Well, it's very obvious that China can't afford to be out there, as I've been saying. And what all this is doing is going to hurt their economy a lot more than it's going to be hurting ours. Bottom line.
But Mr. Secretary,
Maggie, go ahead.
Mr. Secretary, why do people assume this is the last word? The president began this morning saying, be cool. 5 hours later, he announces a new policy. Why will investors in the market assume that this is it?
Because, again, as I said, we've given 90 days, and the only certainty we can provide is that the U.S. is going to negotiate in good faith, and we assume that our allies will, too. And in terms of certainty, we will see what China does. But what I am certain of, is that what China is doing will affect their economy much more than it will ours, because they have an export-driven, flood the world with cheap export models, and the rest of the world now understands, because when we put up our tariff wall, those exports were already flowing to the rest of the G7 and to the global south.
Okay, so obviously then, in looking at this, it's very, very obvious about one thing, which is that China now can do a couple of different things. China can invade Taiwan and start a war, or China can come to the table and negotiate with the United States and come up with a good deal and continue to start flooding our market with the cheap stuff that we've all grown accustomed to loving. Where this leaves American manufacturing in terms of bringing back manufacturing to the United States of America, And I obviously that is the $65,000 question, $65 trillion question you got to adjust for inflation. Because that's the question is, I mean, we need time to be able to build American manufacturing up in this country to be able to absorb whatever, if in 90 days the tariffs go back in place, we need, and 90 days is not going to be enough to get manufacturing up and running, but that's what has to be the goal here if they're going to go back down this road. And China doesn't want to miss out on that, obviously. And so they need to get back in the game here. I think if they were to invade Taiwan right now, I think if they and Iran were to team up and do something, it would be disastrous. Are they an animal trapped in the corner right now, about to react, about to act out and turn around and jump and leap like Rand Paul was suggesting? I hope not. I don't think it'd be wise for them. I think they'd rather make money. I think they need it. Their economy has been hurting in many different ways. They may not care about their people, but they certainly, their economy has not been great. You know, they had a housing crisis in China. They are a country that is an export country. And Democrats have been saying this for years. I know it sounds crazy that Republicans sound like Democrats, but this should be now a bipartisan situation, given that Democrats all these years said all these things.
I heard from Connecticut businesses about the effects of Chinese currency manipulation in their efforts to sell their goods and services, not only in China, but around the world and even in America. Undervaluing Chinese currency puts American businesses at a disadvantage. It is a hidden export subsidy. It is a means of underpricing Chinese goods and services at the expense of ours. And that affects not only our
export. And he's an idiot. I mean, look, Richard Blumenthal is an idiot, no doubt about that. But on this point, This is the point that I'm making to you, which is that Democrats for years have been saying the same thing when it comes to China. You've heard the clips of Pelosi saying it. You've heard the clips of Schumer saying it. You've heard the clips of all of them over the years saying the same thing. America's mother-in-law saying this. Tammy Baldwin, Democrat Senator Tammy Baldwin, said it today that she thinks that China cheats. So Democrats and Republicans are both now saying the same thing when it comes to China. So this is an opportunity for bipartisanship here in this situation. Take a listen to this.
Do you think what's happening with China is different than what's happening in the rest of the world? It sounds like what you're saying. You know, we do have economic adversaries. Is China one of them? And in a vacuum, are you more supportive of the actions against China?
So I believe that China cheats, that the government there subsidizes industry, which creates an unlevel playing field for Wisconsin workers. You know, Wisconsin is a state that makes things. We're a big manufacturing state. But when you have an unlevel playing field, you see the results. We lose jobs. We see China being able to undercut and underprice. We see steel dumping, aluminum dumping. I think it's absolutely appropriate to have targeted tariffs or countervailing duties when China cheats. But there are tools that make sure that we are, analyzing their practices and responding appropriately. But across the board, with our trading, with our allies, our trading partners, makes no sense for our economy. And we're seeing the consequences, as are Wisconsin families seeing the consequences at the grocery store and the gas pump.
Okay, so now that's over. Now that's over, and everybody's happy, and the market's happy. And you know, when Caroline Levitt read what Nancy Pelosi said on the floor of the House regarding China, so now everybody can focus on China's unfair trade practices, and the United States can be allied with the world, and the world can deal with China, and China then can be, I think, using economics to prod them into being a good actor and a good player, and that would then be a remarkable result for the world. And then the world's freer, the world's fairer, trade is freer, trade is fairer, everybody wins. Everybody wins. This is just what Levitt said yesterday.
I do just want to point out one thing, that the president, everybody in Washington, whether they want to admit it or not, knows that this president is right when it comes to tariffs and when it comes to trade. In fact, Democrats have long said that the United States of America has been ripped off by the countries around the world. They just don't want to admit it now because it's President Trump who is saying that. In June of 1996, Nancy Pelosi spoke on the House floor. She urged her colleagues at the time to fight against the status quo trade policies that had contributed to America's trade deficit with China. In fact, Nancy Pelosi said, "How far does China have to go? How much more repression? How big a trade deficit? How many jobs have to be lost for the American workers? How much dangerous proliferation has to exist before members of this House of Representatives will say, I will not endorse the status quo?" Those are the words of Nancy Pelosi in 1996.
Now, granted, in 1996, she was only 4,000 years old. It was a young, spry, vampiric one in 1996. You understand that, right? But no, look, I mean, there's clips of all of them saying this. Chuck Schumer saying this, and they were all going on about China. So my point to you is they should all now turn around and say that they're all in on joining the president in and dealing with China and being tough on China. This should be a moment now of bipartisan cooperation. A bipartisan cooperation, and Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi, the vampiric one, and all the other Democrats should come out and say, hey, you know what? We all said China's the bad guy. And so now we agree with the president, bipartisan.
To the Chinese, enough already. It says to the Chinese that their unfair trade policies have got to end. It says to the Chinese, this is a shot across your bow. Reform, because if you don't, there are going to be dramatic consequences throughout the world, in our country, and in your country as well. The bottom line is very simple, Mr. President. The Chinese have enjoyed a huge trade surplus with the United States, as this chart shows. Every year, it gets larger and larger and larger. Admittedly, some of that trade surplus is part of the is due to the rules of free trade.
Now, look, I don't want to listen. I don't want to torture you with this. He's an idiot. But I'm just saying. What I'm saying here is this is the time now for Democrats to come out and say, "Yeah, you know what? We've been saying the same stuff for years. China's the problem, and now we applaud the president for putting this pause on tariffs for our friends around the world, our allies. We can all come to the table together, work this out, and deal with the bad guy, which is China, deal with the adversary, which is China, and make the world a better place in the meantime." But will Democrats do that, or are they going to come back and they're going to go and they are they going to assail Donald Trump and go after him and attack him and say that, you know, they're being unfair to China? That's the question. We'll have to watch for that reaction. But at least the reaction from the market is good and everybody's happy. And thank God. I think so, too. Thank God. All right. 855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zeoli. Coming up, as more details come out about Biden's mush brain, it's very important to keep this story top of mind. And I'll tell you why. Because this is one of the greatest, if not the greatest, political scandal of our lifetime, possibly in our nation's history. And I refuse to just sweep it under the rug. Bottom line, and we're not going to do that, not on this show. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
The Oli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Oh, the gaslighting. I'll tell you what. The gaslighting that we have been through in this country, it is unbelievable when it comes to Joe Biden's brain. His mangled brain, his pudding brain, It's remarkable. I almost said Mangle Mush, but I don't want to insult him on our YouTube chat. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here. 855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zeoli, our fourth and final hour on a crazy day. I want to talk about other things besides tariffs and trade, to be honest with you, because I think we're all looking forward to talking about something besides tariffs and trade. So let's talk about Biden's brain, shall we? Tariffs and trade and Biden's brain. Before I get into Biden's brain, though, I just have to say, you know, I can't recommend the show 1923 enough. That's how much I loved it. That's how much I loved it. It's a Taylor Sheridan. It's a Yellowstone prequel. You don't have to watch Yellowstone to appreciate it and love it. 1883, though, you should watch first, which was great. It was great. It was really well done. But I watched the season finale of 1923 the other night. I'm still thinking about it. You know, when a show does that to you, and when a show ends, a series ends, and you're still thinking about it and wishing that it wasn't over, that's a great feeling right there. That's a great, you know, you got a home run right there with that show. So that's all I can say. Whereas with the White Lotus season 3, when it was over, I just said, thank God. Like, thank God it's over. The problem that I have is that when I start a show, I tend to need to finish it. When I'm watching a movie, I tend to need to finish it. It's very hard for me to turn something off when I'm already watching it. And I know that sounds crazy, but like, I've only walked out of a movie theater one time in my life. I don't even remember what the movie was. It was just so terrible. I had to leave. But when I'm in, I'm in. And then this happens with shows, too. I start watching them. I get invested in the shows. And then I need to see how it ends. Whether or not I like it or not is a moot point. I just need to see the resolution, how it resolves. Because maybe I'm thinking, how do the writers, is there a way to save this in the finale? And typically, no, because if the first two acts of anything are bad, the third act is going to be a freaking disaster. Which brings us back to Joe Biden. The first act of Joe Biden was his vice president. Just in terms of the White House, vice president getting super rich on Ukraine. The second act was this storyline of him being this kind old man in the basement, keeping you safe from mean tweets and COVID. The third act was him trying to, well, his people trying to fool everybody that he was not a pudding brain. That was the third act. And the first two acts were disasters. And the third act was a disaster, too. But I had to see how the show ended. And it was predictable. Don't you hate when a show is predictable? I hate when a show is predictable. I predicted the entire Biden Act 3 ending, you know, the whole him dropping out of the race and then getting replaced. I mean, I predicted that as far back as October of 2023. So I saw that. I saw that show finale coming. That's the worst. You get invested in a show or a movie, and then the ending comes, and it's so predictable, or even worse, I find, when they throw something out of left field and you're like, really? And it's the, what do they say? It's a, there's a Greek term for it. The hand of God, Deus ex machina. I know Brian, my Marvel DC advisor, Brian Glass, is going to tell me the proper way to say it. Deus ex machina. It's like the hand of God comes down and just, you know, figures out a way to end it because they don't have an ending. It was kind of like that with Biden. The ending was there. They just didn't know how to end it, you know, because the Kamala Harris problem. It's like killing off the lead actor in a play, the lead star, the lead character, and then in a movie or something. But then you're left with nobody likes any of the other supporting cast members. So even if it's a great resolution, you know, you got to just kill the show because there's nobody else strong enough to carry the show. This happens sometimes when great characters leave a show and then there's a bumpy road until they get their setting back. Like I always think of Cheers in its prime when it was Sam and Diane. And it wasn't that I didn't like Kirstie Alley's character. I thought it was a different Cheers at that point going forward. You know what I mean? But with Biden, when they didn't know how to replace him with another actor, the whole thing was a Hollywood production. I mean, even the 2020 campaign was a Hollywood production. It was hide him in the basement, keeping you safe, mean tweets and COVID, having these events with six people in a circle, 6 feet away from each other, and everybody masked up, you know what I mean? And it was all just because they knew back then he had lost his friggin' mind. They knew in 2020 that Biden was out of it. I reject the notion that they didn't know. They just figured we can control this guy and he'll do whatever we want because we have the goods on him. I think in many instances, politicians are bribed all the time, whether it is something they've done in their past, in their personal life, something they're covering up, money they've made somewhere. So I think a lot of more than you can imagine, politicians are blackmailed. Sometimes it's blackmailed into using consultants. I kid you not. There's a very prominent understanding in Jersey politics, for example, that when you hire an opposition research person, understand that when you have that person do opposition research on yourself, which they should do. I mean, every smart candidate pays somebody to do oppo research on their opponent and also on themselves because they want to know what's coming. So, for example, if you were running for governor of New Jersey and you asked me for my advice, I would say to you, you should hire a good opposition research guy to find out everything he can on your opponents and everything he can on you, so that if it comes up, the campaign knows how to respond and deal with it. And then you'll tell me, well, I haven't done anything wrong. And I say, oh, fine. Well, let's just have fun. Let's just do the exercise. Well, it's a waste of money. Okay, fine. And then sure enough, something comes up. A bar fight in college you'd forgotten about or something worse. Well, that opposition research guy now has the goods on you. And this is the problem. This is the catch-22 of politics and opposition research. And so many times politicians wind up then just using that person as their guy because they've got the goods on them. I've seen this firsthand. I've seen politicians keep people around, candidates keep people around who are clearly antithetical to their best interest. And I knew the reason why. It's because at some point early on in the campaign, this guy dug something up on them, has it on them. And if they ever terminate his consultancy, it could be used against them. So they're kind of stuck. That's a micro level of what happened with Biden. With Biden, they knew about all his corruption in the White House. They knew about everything with Ukraine. They knew all about it because it was all done under Barack Obama's watch. The president knew what Biden was doing. He just didn't care. The Democrats don't care if you're corrupt. In many ways, they're happy about it because they have something on you. It's just when you turn on them is when they'll use it against you. Bob Menendez being the signature example of that. They knew Menendez's corruption, the one that he was just found guilty for years ago. I mean, the New Jersey State Attorney General's office was presented with this in 2019, I think, and did nothing about it. So they always know the corruption's there. It's just a matter of you cross us and, you know, this is what we'll do. Now, in the case of Bob Menendez had crossed the Obama administration and the Biden administration on Iran. So the first time around, he gets indicted. The second time around, he gets indicted. Eric Adams gets indicted because he spoke out against the Biden administration. With Joe Biden, it was always a situation of, okay, he's our guy. We think he can beat Trump. Just 2020, going back to 2020. Right? It's pre-COVID now. It's January 2020. It's a day, it's the magical day that everybody drops out of the race. And little Pete Buttigieg gets out and Kamala Harris gets out. They all get out except for two people. And that's America's mother-in-law, Elizabeth Warren, and Bernie Sanders. Now, Elizabeth Warren was sent there to stay in the race to buttress Bernie because Bernie Sanders could not win the nomination. Just like how they stopped him in 2016 by putting Hillary Clinton in, they could not allow Bernie Sanders to win in 2020. He's unpredictable. He'll do whatever he wants. He's like Trump in that respect. You can't control him. So whether it's on economic issues or whether it's on war and peace issues, Bernie's going to do what Bernie and the Bernie bros want. He's not going to do what the masters of the universe want and the people that pull the strings in D.C., so they all get out of the race. Everybody backs Biden. They figure he's got name recognition. He's an old white guy. You need a white guy to go with against a white guy, but a white guy you can control. So you need an old white guy to go against Donald Trump, but it's somebody you can control. So then they create this storyline. The storyline is he's spent his whole life in politics to make the world a better place for his family and your family. And he took the train to Delaware to see his family. And all of it was a lie. Biden and everybody who really knew him knew he was a snarky SOB and he was corrupt and they knew he was corrupt. But that's why they wanted him, because then they could control him. Had the goods on him. he would do whatever they wanted. And sure enough, he did. I mean, he day one institutes all these lefty, crazy liberal policies. I remember back in the 2020 campaign saying to people when I was doing in mornings back then, I was saying, please do not fall for this idea that Joe Biden is some kind of a moderate. He's not a moderate. And he's going to govern like a lefty because the lefties all control the Democrat Party now. So even if he was at some point pretending to be a Democrat moderate, the moderates are not going to be there. The five of them that are left around him. Sure enough, day one, kills the Keystone XL pipeline, goes nuts on all the environmental stuff, the spending stuff. And then ultimately, you know, the military industrial complex gets everything it wants. So that's act two. That's act two of the storyline. But they didn't. But they knew then his brain was mush. And there's so many documented stories in these books that are all coming out now said that hiding him in the basement was part of a broader strategy of keeping him away from the cameras. Now, back then, they would turn around and say, well, because, you know, Uncle Joe, you know, he might walk into a Dunkin' Donuts and insult the guy behind the counter because he's Indian. Or 7-Eleven, which he did. You know, the time he said in 7-Eleven, you can't walk into 7-Eleven without seeing some guy who's Indian. But they would just write that off. Well, that's just Joe being Joe. No, it wasn't. They knew Joe Biden had lost his mind, so they had to hide him. And that was they used COVID as the excuse to hide him. And, you know, and so he wins. And I'll put that in air quotes. He wins. Although the election interference that occurred because of the Hunter Biden laptop, the greatest election interference we've seen in our lifetime. That was not a fair election. Leaving voting machines out of it, leaving dead people voting out of it, just that alone, just the way that the deep state was able to manipulate and the media went along with and big tech went along with hiding the truth of the Hunter Biden laptop story, which was the truth of Joe Biden's corruption, which completely destroyed the character that they had created, this Hollywood version of Joe Biden. That was the biggest evidence of election interference, example of election interference we've ever seen in our lifetimes. So fast forward to Act 3. So Act 3 now, they don't know what to do with this guy. He's in there, he's doing everything, but it's obvious now he's shaking hands with the invisible man. He's going off script. Shaking hands with dead people. He's talking to dead presidents. He's, you know, and they know that he can't win because the economy had turned dark and it was getting harder and harder to hide his cognitive decline. But the entire time, the subplot that nobody ever talks about is how they did everything they could to elevate Donald Trump. These idiots believed that Trump was the easiest one to beat. They figured, well, we beat him before, we can beat him again, without factoring in the fact that they only beat Donald Trump because they committed the greatest election interference in American history, and that had people known the truth about Joe Biden and his corruption, the whole thing may have backfired in their faces and Trump may have won a second term. And again, that's leaving voting machines and dead people out of it. That's just on that alone, a quantifiable, provable fact of election interference. So they do everything they can to prop up Donald Trump. They go after him in every lawfare way they possibly can, believing that the base would rally to him, which they did. He would get the nomination, which he did, and they thought they could beat him. But the economy turns, Biden's brain is mush, Trump's winning, and they see that he's going to win, and they don't know what to do. So they charge Hunter Biden. And that's when in October of 2023, I said to you, the game is up. That Biden is toast. He will not be the nominee because now they've charged Hunter Biden with tax crimes separate from the gun diversion agreement. All that stuff's going to come out now about Joe Biden's corruption, or it won't. Meaning that it won't come out if he does what they want him to do and gets out of the race. But they had a timing problem. If he had dropped out in October of 2023, they would have had an open Democrat primary. And the problem for them is they couldn't risk Bernie Sanders again in 2024. So they had to then control the process. And even though they knew Kamala Harris was a loser, they figured, well, if we have a short window and a convention, maybe we can have an open convention and maybe somebody can emerge and maybe it won't look like we're pushing her aside. And yet we won't get stuck with somebody who we can't control. I think that was a delicate balancing act. Biden goes into that debate in the summer of 2024, and it's a disaster for him, but they knew it was going to be a disaster. This new book, Uncharted, that's out, says Ron Klain, who was the White House chief of staff, said at Camp David, when they're doing debate prep, Biden's wandering by the pool. He's clearly not with it. The debate happens, and then this gaslighting occurs. Ron Klain going on Kara Swisher's podcast, saying the following about Joe Biden. This is post-debate now.
Good health or not, yeah. Whether he was in good mental health. Obviously, top advisors got blame for this, the preparation itself, and also not being transparent, that he wasn't able to campaign effectively. How do you answer those critics?
Well, look, what I say is look at what he did after the debate. Mm-hmm. The speech in North Carolina the next morning was powerful and effective. He did an interview with George Stephanopoulos. I thought it was very good. He did a foreign policy press conference I thought was superb. Mm-hmm. Tour de force about foreign policy. He then went to Michigan and laid out an agenda for the first 100 days of his second term that I thought was a powerful agenda. Got a great response at the NAACP convention. And so I think the proof that he could campaign was that he did campaign and campaigned very effectively. Mm-hmm. The idea that somehow people weren't transparent about the state of his health or the state of his acuity, I think, is belied by the fact that the president did events all the time. Mm-hmm. And you know, I understand there was a lot of viewership, but he went to the Roosevelt Room a couple times a week, mm-hmm. would make a policy announcement, would take questions from the press corps.
Now, obviously, this looking back, and you realize now he's rattling off his list of all these scripted events that Biden did. And that's the key. They were all scripted events. A debate is not a scripted event. All those other events were scripted. The answers to the George Stephanopoulos interview, which I think was a disaster for him, but everything was scripted or with friendly people who would help him. And this is, but the debate was not. You can't script a debate. So why let him on that debate stage? Why let him on the debate stage if you're Ron Klain? And the only answer is because at that point, they had to find a way to
end
the story.
Former President Biden's chief of staff, Ron Klain, has attributed Biden's poor debate performance against then-candidate Donald Trump last summer to a lack of focus, not by Biden, but by his senior aides. Klain, a close ally and supporter of Biden, was interviewed by author Chris Whipple and is the subject of Whipple's latest book, out next week. Klain, a close ally and supporter of Biden, was interviewed by author Chris Whipple and is the subject of Whipple's latest book, out next week. Excerpts were given to The Guardian, but Klain is clarifying some of his statements, saying the news outlet framed the facts wrong. In Whipple's upcoming book, Uncharted, How Trump Beat Biden, Harris, and the Odds in the Wildest Campaign in History, Klain described Biden's debate prep as he was brought back on to assist Biden for the debate after serving as his chief of staff from 2021 to 2023. Klain expressed concern over Biden's preparedness. In a story previewing excerpts from the book, The Guardian wrote, in a new book, Joe Biden's former White House chief of staff paints a devastating picture of the then U.S. president's mental and physical state before the debate with Donald Trump that sent his 2024 campaign into a tailspin.
That was from Straight Hour News. The look back window and trying to rewrite the show, and it's kind of like when a movie comes out and it's a disaster, like Snow White or something like this, or something. And then now what they try to do is it's everybody's pointing fingers. Well, it was the studio executive's fault. It was the writer's fault, the actor's fault, the actress's fault, blah, 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 blah. But you know what I mean? It's very similar to that. When you got a movie that bombs, let's take, for example, this summer they have the new Superman movie coming out. I'm particularly excited about this, as you know. I'm going to take my son to it. Patrick and I love superhero movies. We bond over superhero movies. We always have since he was a kid. And Superman in particular, because Superman was adopted. And for children who are adopted, that's Superman is a great character to relate to. He was adopted and he loves his adoptive parents, very close to Jonathan and Martha Kent. Never knew his birth family because they died in Krypton, obviously, when it blew up. But his birth father, Jor-El, plays a big part of his life through, you know, AI or Kryptonian AI or whatever it is that they use. But so the new Superman movie is coming out this summer. I think it's going to be very, very good. But the previous movies were a freaking disaster. And I blame the director, Zack Snyder. Other people blame the executives at Warner Brothers. Other people blame DC. Other people blame the actor. You see what I mean? This is what we're looking at now with Biden. Everybody's pointing fingers at everybody else along the way. But the truth of the matter is two things are a fact. Fact one, the Democrats believed Donald Trump was their easiest surefire way to get back to keep the White House by making him the nominee. That's why they went after him in court. And number two, they knew Biden was out of it. They just could not figure out the Kamala Harris problem. And then ultimately they said, we have to just roll the dice. That's the truth. That's the reality. They can rewrite the story. They can cast blame on the director. They can cast blame on the actors. They can cast blame on the writers. That's what happened. Okay. Let's say about Natural Lawn of America, because I love the way my lawn looks. It is beautiful. It is lush. It is thick and it's green, and you can have the same thing. All right. Before I get out of here and turn it over to Jimmy Fallon, Fox Across America, I want you to think about your lawn and think about that beautiful, lush, thick green lawn that you can have. That's safer for the kiddos, safer for the pets, because Natural Lawn of America uses their treatment that is customized to your lawn, from organic fertilizers, insect control, weed control. It's all there for you and your family. And the best part is it's a local company. It's a family-owned company. And everything they do is specific to your lawn's needs. And what they factor into that is, I mean, it really, it blows you away when you get up the write-up at the end of the treatment and what they applied and why they did it and what they recommend. And going forward, it makes sense. But here's the best part. Best part is every year they seed your lawn for free. That's right. Natural Lawn of America will seed your lawn for free. All you got to do is sign up for their full service program and call them at 1-800-FREE-SEED. 1-800-FREE-SEED. And choose my lawn care company. We use them now in two different homes with two different lawns, and I got great results every time. Great results in the old house with the old lawn. Great results in the new house with the new lawn. And it wasn't like when we first moved in. I mean, it was a ton of crabgrass and everything we had to deal with. And they took care of all of that. And now it's just beautiful, healthy, lush, thick lawn that is safer for my little kids. And while we don't have pets, although we'd like to, but that's a topic for another show. It's a whole thing with, you know, the kids want them, the Bridget. Anyway, safer for the kids, safer for the pets. And you get the free seeding every year. Natural Lawn of America, 1-800-FREE-SEED. Thanks for listening to the show. Keep the conversation going on X at Rich Zeoli. Fox Across America is next. Thank you.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.